Вариант 7.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Well, my favourite leisure pastime is rather unusual. You see, I live in the country, and for me there is nothing better than riding on horseback on a hot sunny day with a little breeze. There's no one around and you can enjoy freedom from almost everything and everyone. No matter what mood you're in, you can always find happiness. I've been riding for 15 years now, and I can say that it's an amazing feeling to be so far off the ground and to be able to run so fast or to walk so slow. It's very peaceful and relaxing at times, but can also be an adrenaline rush.
Speaker B.
I am fond of crafts. I love making different items from wood and then painting them. I usually give them away just to make people smile. I also enjoy sewing, especially making doll clothes for my daughter. All these things relax me, not to mention that I get a bit of satisfaction from having made something useful. I love making gifts for my family and friends. I prefer making something personal rather than spending time in shops trying to find a present that no one else would think of. I wish I had more time and space to do it.
Speaker C.
I don't really have any leisure activity, just because I don't have much time for leisure. I come home after work and just relax in front of TV or read a good book. I used to love drawing while I was growing up. I could get lost in drawing, using just a pencil. I still have some old pictures I've drawn, and they are like old familiar friends. I stopped drawing when I started a job in graphic design. Now I don't even have the desire to draw. Maybe I'll pick it up again when the kids grow up.
Speaker D.
I can't say that I'm fat, but I'm really concerned about my weight because diabetes runs on both sides of my family. That's why I have to exercise in my free time so that disease doesn't set in. I ride 7 miles a day around the town I live in, up and down hills, mostly in fifth gear. I like it because it makes me feel energetic, helps keep my weight down, strengthens my legs, and keeps my heart in good condition. I'm a pro wrestler, and for me, breathing is a must. Riding my bike helps with that breathing process.
Speaker E.
In the evenings, I usually read a good book that takes me away from everything and puts me in a different world. But at weekends, I love to explore the underground. It's like climbing and hiking, all in one. But it's in the dark, so that adds another level of complexity I really enjoy. You have to use your brain in conjunction with your body to maneuver through difficult situations. It's great. Besides, like in most extreme sports, you depend on your fellow cavers. You have your life in their hands and vice versa. This forms a close bond between us. I suppose that attracts me most.
Speaker F.
I have only one favourite pastime. Every day I come home, lie on the sofa, turn on the TV and just relax. What do I watch? It doesn't matter. Anything from soaps to football matches. My TV set is my best friend, and I am usually very annoyed when someone calls or turns up at the very interesting moment. The only problem is that I have put on a lot of weight. I can't help eating crisps, Snickers, and other snacks while watching. My friends say I'm a couch potato. So what? I like it that way.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Well, my favourite leisure pastime is rather unusual. You see, I live in the country, and for me there is nothing better than riding on horseback on a hot sunny day with a little breeze. There's no one around and you can enjoy freedom from almost everything and everyone. No matter what mood you're in, you can always find happiness. I've been riding for 15 years now and I can say that it's an amazing feeling to be so far off the ground and to be able to run so fast or to walk so slow. It's very peaceful and relaxing at times but can also be an adrenaline rush.
Speaker B.
I am fond of crafts. I love making different items from wood and then painting them. I usually give them away just to make people smile. I also enjoy sewing, especially making doll clothes for my daughter. All these things relax me, not to mention that I get a bit of satisfaction from having made something useful. I love making gifts for my family and friends. I prefer making something personal rather than spending time in shops trying to find a present that no one else would think of. I wish I had more time and space to do it.
Speaker C.
I don't really have any leisure activity, just because I don't have much time for leisure. I come home after work and just relax in front of TV or read a good book. I used to love drawing while I was growing up. I could get lost in drawing, using just a pencil. I still have some old pictures I've drawn, and they are like old familiar friends. I stopped drawing when I started a job in graphic design. Now I don't even have the desire to draw. Maybe I'll pick it up again when the kids grow up.
Speaker D.
I can't say that I'm fat, but I'm really concerned about my weight because diabetes runs on both sides of my family. That's why I have to exercise in my free time so that disease doesn't set in. I ride 7 miles a day around the town I live in, up and down hills, mostly in fifth gear. I like it because it makes me feel energetic, helps keep my weight down, strengthens my legs, and keeps my heart in good condition. I'm a pro wrestler, and for me, breathing is a must. Riding my bike helps with that breathing process.
Speaker E.
In the evenings, I usually read a good book that takes me away from everything and puts me in a different world. But at weekends, I love to explore the underground. It's like climbing and hiking, all in one. But it's in the dark, so that adds another level of complexity I really enjoy. You have to use your brain in conjunction with your body to maneuver through difficult situations. It's great. Besides, like in most extreme sports, you depend on your fellow cavers. You have your life in their hands and vice versa. This forms a close bond between us. I suppose that attracts me most.
Speaker F.
I have only one favourite pastime. Every day, I come home, lie on the sofa, turn on the TV, and just relax. What do I watch? It doesn't matter. Anything from soaps to football matches. My TV set is my best friend, and I am usually very annoyed when someone calls or turns up at the very interesting moment. The only problem is that I have put on a lot of weight. I can't help eating crisps, Snickers, and other snacks while watching. My friends say I'm a couch potato. So what? I like it that way.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False.
и о чем в тексте не сказано, то есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Kate. I hear you're learning English now. Why?
Oh, yes. 2 years ago, I learned French, but now I need English for my future career.
You're right. As for me, my ambition is to be a businessman, and it's impossible to become a successful businessman in Norway if you don't know English. That's why I'm learning English hard now, and I attend special courses.
So do I. My ambition is to be a tourist manager. I'll visit different countries and talk to different people. When you are in different countries, you can manage a lot better if you understand people and people understand you.
I agree with you. English is an international language nowadays. It is the standard language for all kinds of international communication. Almost all information in computers is in English. Nearly all international letters and telexes are in English.
Your English sounds perfect. How long have you been learning it?
Well, for about 5 years now. Of course, I do my homework and learn grammar, but I think that it's because we get a lot of exposure to English in Norway, through TV, music, media, everything. And we don't dub movies and TV programs like they do in many other countries. We get subtitles, and I'm used to watching such films.
The same with music. Here in Russia, English music is very, very popular. Probably more popular than Russian music. I always listen to English songs. At first, I could hardly make out anything, but now I can even sing several songs myself.
Really? That's wonderful, because you'll have good pronunciation if you sing English songs.
Can you give me any advice about learning English?
Well, you say you like travelling, right?
Yes, I've already been to some foreign countries, but, unfortunately, not to English-speaking ones.
That doesn't matter. When you travel, try to speak English as much as possible. Practice is very important if you want to speak English well.
I agree with you. I use the internet for practice. I have found some English-speaking friends on the net and chat with them via Skype.
That's great. However, don't forget about learning grammar. As for me, I devote about an hour and a half every day to doing my homework.
That's why you have excellent results. I wish you good luck.
The same to you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hello, Kate. I hear you're learning English now. Why?
Oh, yes. 2 years ago, I learned French, but now I need English for my future career.
You're right. As for me, my ambition is to be a businessman, and it's impossible to become a successful businessman in Norway if you don't know English. That's why I'm learning English hard now, and I attend special courses.
So do I. My ambition is to be a tourist manager. I'll visit different countries and talk to different people. When you are in different countries, you can manage a lot better if you understand people and people understand you.
I agree with you. English is an international language nowadays. It is the standard language for all kinds of international communication. Almost all information in computers is in English. Nearly all international letters and telexes are in English.
Your English sounds perfect. How long have you been learning it?
Well, for about 5 years now. Of course, I do my homework and learn grammar, but I think that it's because we get a lot of exposure to English in Norway, through TV, music, media, everything. And we don't dub movies and TV programs like they do in many other countries. We get subtitles, and I'm used to watching such films.
The same with music. Here in Russia, English music is very, very popular. Probably more popular than Russian music. I always listen to English songs. At first, I could hardly make out anything, but now I can even sing several songs myself.
Really? That's wonderful, because you'll have good pronunciation if you sing English songs.
Can you give me any advice about learning English?
Well, you say you like travelling, right?
Yes, I've already been to some foreign countries, but, unfortunately, not to English-speaking ones.
That doesn't matter. When you travel, try to speak English as much as possible. Practice is very important if you want to speak English well.
I agree with you. I use the internet for practice. I have found some English-speaking friends on the net and chat with them via Skype.
That's great. However, don't forget about learning grammar. As for me, I devote about an hour and a half every day to doing my homework.
That's why you have excellent results. I wish you good luck.
The same to you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите речь президента США в связи с утечкой нефти в Мексиканском заливе. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Good afternoon, everybody. I know it's a little warm out here, so I want to get started. I've just had a meeting with the members of Congress and local officials, as well as Admiral Thad Allen, the National Incident Commander in charge of response efforts to the BP oil spill. Admiral Allen updated us on the latest efforts to stop the leak and mitigate the damage to the great beaches of the Gulf Coast. I had the chance to visit Charlotte, a beach like Port Fourchon, which gives you not only a sense of what extraordinary efforts are being made at the local level, but also awareness of the damage that we're already starting to see as a consequence of this spill. Now, our mission remains the same as it has since this disaster began, since the day I visited Louisiana nearly 4 weeks ago. We want to stop the leak. We want to contain and clean up the oil, and we want to help the people of this region return to their lives and their livelihoods as soon as possible. I just had a chance to listen to the mayor of Grand Isle, our host here, telling us heartbreaking stories about fishermen who are trying to figure out where the next paycheck is going to come from and how they're going to pay the mortgage on their boats. And he says he's having to dig into his pocket at this point to make sure that some of them are able to deal with the economic impact. So this is something that has to be dealt with immediately, not sometime later. On the day this disaster began, we were already staging equipment in the event of a larger scale spill. By the time we discovered the third beach, a week after the Deepwater Horizon platform sank, we had already stationed more than 70 vessels and hundreds of thousands of feet of protective boom on site. Today there are more than 20,000 people in the region working around the clock to contain and clean up this spill. We've activated about 1,400 members of the National Guard across four states. Nearly 1,400 vessels are aiding in the containment and cleanup effort. Right now, however, we are still within the window where we don't yet know the outcome of the highly complex top kill procedure that the federal government authorized BP to use to try to stop the leak. But our response will continue with its full force, regardless of the outcome of the top kill approach, because even if the leak was stopped today, it wouldn't change the fact that these waters still contain oil from what is now the largest spill in American history, and more of it will come ashore. To ensure that we are fully prepared for that, I've directed Admiral Allen to triple the manpower in places where oil has hit the shore or is within 24 hours of impact. This increase will allow us to further intensify this already historic response, contain and remove oil more quickly, and help minimize the time that any oil comes into contact with our coastline. That means deploying more boom, cleaning more beaches, performing more monitoring of wildlife and impact to this ecosystem. What's more, we've stationed doctors and scientists across the five Gulf states to look out for people's health and then to monitor any ill effects felt by cleanup workers and local residents. We have ordered BP to pay economic injury claims and we will make sure they deliver. BP is the responsible party for this disaster. What that means is they are legally responsible for stopping the leak, and they are financially responsible for the enormous damage that they have created. And we are going to hold them accountable, along with any other party responsible for the initial explosion and loss of life on that platform. But, as I said yesterday, I ultimately take responsibility for solving this crisis. I'm the president, and the buck stops with me. So I give the people of this community and the entire Gulf my word that we are going to hold ourselves accountable to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to stop this catastrophe, to defend our natural resources, to repair the damage, and to keep this region on its feet. America has never experienced an event like this before, and that means that as we respond to it, not every judgment we make is going to be right the first time out. Sometimes there are going to be disagreements between experts or between federal and state and local officials about what the most effective measures will be. Sometimes there are going to be risks and unintended consequences associated with a particular mitigation strategy that we consider. There are not going to be silver bullets or a lot of perfect answers for some of the challenges that we face. The bottom line is this: every decision we make is based on a single criterion. What is going to best protect the people and the ecosystems of the Gulf? I want to thank everybody in this region who's rolled up their sleeves and pitched in to help. One of the most powerful ways that you can help the Gulf right now is to visit the communities and the beaches of the coast. Except for three beaches here in Louisiana, all the Gulf's beaches at the moment are open. They are safe and they are clean. And so, a good way to help is to come down and provide support to the communities along the coast. To the people of the Gulf Coast, I know you've weathered your fair share of trials and tragedy. I know there have been times where you've wondered if you were being asked to face them alone. I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. You will not be abandoned. You will not be left behind. The cameras at some point may leave, the media may get tired of the story, but we will not. We are going to keep at this every day until the leak has stopped, until this coastline is clean and your communities are made whole again. That's my promise to you on behalf of a nation. It is one that we will keep. And I want to thank everybody here for the extraordinary work that they are putting in. You shouldn't underestimate how hard these folks are working on behalf of their constituencies. So thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Good afternoon, everybody. I know it's a little warm out here, so I want to get started. I've just had a meeting with the members of Congress and local officials, as well as Admiral Thad Allen, the National Incident Commander in charge of response efforts to the BP oil spill. Admiral Allen updated us on the latest efforts to stop the leak and mitigate the damage to the great beaches of the Gulf Coast. I had the chance to visit Charlotte, a beach like Port Fourchon, which gives you not only a sense of what extraordinary efforts are being made at the local level, but also awareness of the damage that we're already starting to see as a consequence of this spill. Now, our mission remains the same as it has since this disaster began, since the day I visited Louisiana nearly 4 weeks ago. We want to stop the leak. We want to contain and clean up the oil, and we want to help the people of this region return to their lives and their livelihoods as soon as possible. I just had a chance to listen to the mayor of Grand Isle, our host here, telling us heartbreaking stories about fishermen who are trying to figure out where the next paycheck is going to come from and how they're going to pay the mortgage on their boats. And he says he's having to dig into his pocket at this point to make sure that some of them are able to deal with the economic impact. So this is something that has to be dealt with immediately, not sometime later. On the day this disaster began, we were already staging equipment in the event of a larger scale spill. By the time we discovered the third beach, a week after the Deepwater Horizon platform sank, we had already stationed more than 70 vessels and hundreds of thousands of feet of protective boom on site. Today there are more than 20,000 people in the region working around the clock to contain and clean up this spill. We've activated about 1,400 members of the National Guard across four states. Nearly 1,400 vessels are aiding in the containment and cleanup effort. Right now, however, we are still within the window where we don't yet know the outcome of the highly complex top kill procedure that the federal government authorized BP to use to try to stop the leak. But our response will continue with its full force, regardless of the outcome of the top kill approach, because even if the leak was stopped today, it wouldn't change the fact that these waters still contain oil from what is now the largest spill in American history, and more of it will come ashore. To ensure that we are fully prepared for that, I've directed Admiral Allen to triple the manpower in places where oil has hit the shore or is within 24 hours of impact. This increase will allow us to further intensify this already historic response, contain and remove oil more quickly, and help minimize the time that any oil comes into contact with our coastline. That means deploying more boom, cleaning more beaches, performing more monitoring of wildlife and impact to this ecosystem. What's more, we've stationed doctors and scientists across the five Gulf states to look out for people's health and then to monitor any ill effects felt by cleanup workers and local residents. We have ordered BP to pay economic injury claims, and we will make sure they deliver. BP is the responsible party for this disaster. What that means is they are legally responsible for stopping the leak, and they are financially responsible for the enormous damage that they have created. And we are going to hold them accountable, along with any other party responsible for the initial explosion and loss of life on that platform. But, as I said yesterday, I ultimately take responsibility for solving this crisis. I'm the president, and the buck stops with me. So I give the people of this community and the entire Gulf my word that we are going to hold ourselves accountable to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to stop this catastrophe, to defend our natural resources, to repair the damage, and to keep this region on its feet. America has never experienced an event like this before, and that means that as we respond to it, not every judgment we make is going to be right the first time out. Sometimes there are going to be disagreements between experts or between federal and state and local officials about what the most effective measures will be. Sometimes there are going to be risks and unintended consequences associated with a particular mitigation strategy that we consider. There are not going to be silver bullets or a lot of perfect answers for some of the challenges that we face. The bottom line is this. Every decision we make is based on a single criterion. What is going to best protect the people and the ecosystems of the Gulf? I want to thank everybody in this region who's rolled up their sleeves and pitched in to help. One of the most powerful ways that you can help the Gulf right now is to visit the communities and the beaches of the coast. Except for three beaches here in Louisiana, all the Gulf's beaches at the moment are open. They are safe and they are clean. And so, a good way to help is to come down and provide support to the communities along the coast. To the people of the Gulf Coast, I know you've weathered your fair share of trials and tragedy. I know there have been times where you've wondered if you were being asked to face them alone. I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. You will not be abandoned. You will not be left behind. The cameras at some point may leave, the media may get tired of the story, but we will not. We are going to keep at this every day until the leak has stopped, until this coastline is clean and your communities are made whole again. That's my promise to you on behalf of a nation. It is one that we will keep. And I want to thank everybody here for the extraordinary work that they are putting in. You shouldn't underestimate how hard these folks are working on behalf of their constituencies. So thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.